Well, bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 1. I want to teach a little more on the constraining love of Christ under the heading of For a Love of Honor. I think we're in part 5 or somewhere in there, but doesn't matter. I just want to share these wonderful truths with you. There is a love that has no limits to its endurance, no end to its mercy, and no fading of its hope. It outlasts everything. When all else has fallen, all else has failed, the love of Christ still stands and prevails. There is no more a heroic heart than one that is constrained by the love of Christ. A heart that is inspired and set ablaze by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in his life, his death, his resurrection, and soon to be glorification for being the Savior of the world. Philippians chapter 1 is a great record that I want to start with, and we'll begin in verse 1. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, all of the elders of the church. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your full sharing, your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet or right or adequate for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, he's my witness, how greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Both in knowledge and in all judgment or spiritual understanding, that the love as demonstrated by Jesus Christ as to how much God loves you, that you grow in that knowledge and in that understanding, that your heart is constrained by that love. It just has a hold on you and it keeps you in place. We use the word constrain, and often when we use the constrain in English, we mean to force somebody. And many times it's really in against someone's will. But when it comes to being constrained by the love of Christ, it is in the sense that Jesus said, I have come not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus Christ purposely suppressed his own will so that he could carry out the will of God, because the love God has for man in sending his own begotten Son exceeded even his own will, and he wanted to carry out God's will. It motivated Christ to historic and heroic efforts out of a love, both for God and for man, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus Christ did that. That is constraining love. Our love should grow the same way, that the believing center of our will directs us to that kind of heroic proportions of honor and valor. we have in our Bill of Rights freedom of speech, and everyone has the right to speak. But you know, God makes a recommendation on whom we should listen to. I'd like you to go to Mark chapter 9, the Gospel of Mark. Because we were talking about the opportunity last week of starting a fellowship, of speaking the word, of getting the opportunity to teach other people the word of God that you have sown in the depth of your heart. The word of God that lifts you to heroic proportions with the love of Christ and the constraining love of Christ, that you might speak, be the one to speak. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 7, I'm in Matthew, that's why I'm a little confused here. We're in Mark chapter 9. It says in verse 7, and there was a cloud that shadowed them. This is on the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus Christ was transformed before Peter, John, and Paul. And the cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. What?
Hear him.
This is my beloved Son. And in other records, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear him, the one I am well pleased with. Well, if we desire to have that platform to speak, why not be ones who are well-pleasing to God, and we are the ones then that should be heard. In Romans chapter 12, let's go to Romans, the great book of Romans, in chapter 12. We'll begin in verse 1, as soon as I can get there. Verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word acceptable is the same words as well-pleasing in the Greek. We are well-pleasing to God as we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing unto God. And he says it's our reasonable, our logical service. And then it goes on to tell us, and here's how we do that. We present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God that is well-pleasing to him. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable, well-pleasing, and perfect will of God. We are well-pleasing to God when we show what is that, when we are not conformed to this world, but we decide we're going to follow his will. Not the will of the world, but we are going to follow his will and be transformed by the renewing of our minds for the purpose that we can prove, we can demonstrate, we can show what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. Isn't that beautiful? We are well-pleasing. It's not accepted. That's a poor translation because Ephesians tells us we're already accepted in the beloved. I think it's in verse 5 or 6, that we are accepted in the blood. We are well-pleasing when we show that we are already accepted. And because we are already accepted, why not be constrained by that love that made us acceptable? Well, we are acceptable, and let's be well-pleasing to God in our renewed mind as one who is so beloved. Let's look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, just a little further down. And here is another one, another way that that constraining love, if we do His will, if we accept His will, is demonstrated in a magnificent way and shows that we are constrained by our love for God and our love for Christ. Romans chapter 14, let's begin in verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. And this is talking to the believers in the family of God, particularly. Let us not judge one another anymore, whether you be a Jew or a Gentile in the background. It doesn't matter anymore. Let us not judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Isn't that something? In Christ, we are free. People talk about the grace of God. Here is the way we function because we have the grace of God. This is living in the grace of God. That although we are free, we wouldn't put a stumbling block in our brother's way. Isn't that something? I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Doesn't that make sense? Here you have a brother or a sister in Christ, and you have all this freedom in Christ, and you have the grace of God abounding. Why not show them what it is to be so loving that you would not put a stumbling block in front of them? A reason to trip, a reason to be called. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Isn't that something? The word destroy means break their mind down, to cause them to do things that go against their heart beliefs yet. Something. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Don't break his mind down with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of by other believing ones. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these serve Christ is acceptable, well-pleasing to God and approved of men. Do you want to be well-pleasing to God and approved of men, especially among the brethren?
Yes.
Here is how you do it. Let the love of Christ constrain you. Even if it's against your own will, let the love of Christ constrain you. Let it just fill your heart to the place that your heart just won't let you alone until it is accomplished. I am going to live this way. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify or build up another. Don't we want all believers to become mature believers? Well, if we desire to be well-pleasing to God, let us put on the renewed mind and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Let His will be our will. If we want to be well-pleasing to God, let us not offend our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Let us not use grace as a license to sin. Let us not, I know God will forgive me, so therefore I'll go ahead and do this anyways. Let's rise to the level of men and women of such great love. We live in what God believes is a heroic way to live. Because the love of Christ constrains us, let your love grow in knowledge and in spiritual judgment. And that's something, using spiritually good judgment. Be well-pleasing to God in our service and in our charity to the brethren, that we would not do something that would cause them to stumble. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. There are seven areas that the scriptures talk about being well-pleasing to God, and I'm covering these with you. The first is in our renewed mind, to show what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God, to place God's will ahead of our own and constrain ourselves by the love of Christ to live that way, because we so love God and we so love the brethren. And we love God because He first loved us. And it's demonstrated the endurance and the strength and the power and the heroism, I guess is how you pronounce it, of Jesus Christ to lay down His life for mankind, to be the Savior of man. How much love is that? Because Jesus Christ did not take upon Himself the stature of who He was, the Son of God. He became a servant to all. That's something. I think we can do a better job. And Paul's prayer for the Philippian church was that they would grow in love, both in their knowledge and in their application of that knowledge. Just terrific. And I encourage us to do the same. Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll get there sometime soon, I want to start from verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and the word followers is mimickers of God, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. How big did Christ walk in love? When He could have been demanding everybody just bow down to Him because He is the Son of God, yet He made Himself servant of all. What a man. Out of the love He had for God and the love He had for mankind, He even laid down His own sonship rights. He divested Himself of His sonship rights, so that He could be the Savior of mankind. Hear ye Him. Well, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jestings which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Boy, you get mixed into the world, and how much do you hear foolish jestings and filthiness, you know, foolish talking? My gosh. Which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. How many times do you hear people at the job site being thankful? Oh, I'm still grateful. Thanks. This is great. Thank you. Thankful for the boss told me this. I am so thankful. Yeah, right. Look. If we are going to compare our lives, let's not look at even our brethren in the church. Well, I'm a little better than him. I sure do better than her. We're not the measuring rod. Christ is. And let your heart be so filled by his love for us. Let your mind grow in the knowledge of exactly what he accomplished and how great his love was for you, that you would be so obedient. Well, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That doesn't mean that they're not going to get into heaven, but they don't have a what? An inheritance. There's a lot of things that God desires to give to us and that we should have as joint heirs with Christ. Let us live our lives as those who are worthy of such praise and confidence. Yeah, I think about these people that, billionaires or whatever, and they leave $60 million to their dog because they hate their kids or some other. It's just insanity. It's just sick that such an inheritance which someone has accumulated would go to something like that rather than to their own children. Why would we want to live that way toward God? Let us be well-pleasing to him. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why shouldn't we live well-pleasing to him? By renewing our mind to his perfect will, to prove it, to show it, to demonstrate how great it is. Why not be well-pleasing to him as we serve in love and show forth our charity to the body of Christ? And why not be well-pleasing to him as, well, we'll read a little further. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometime darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable, well-pleasing unto the Lord. Why not walk as children of light? Come out from the darkness and be separate from them. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Isn't this something? In Philippians chapter 4, and this is a great record, and I want to share this with you. I want to start in verse 10, where Paul tells the church at Philippi, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity." The word care is the word for mind. And careful means to be mindful. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your thinking or your mind toward me hath flourished again, wherein you were mindful, but you lacked opportunity. Imagine the great Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men to ever speak the word of God. Do you think God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear him"? Sure did. Well, let's jump down to verse 14. Notwithstanding, you did well that you did communicate with my affliction or my necessity. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the thing which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to who?
God.
That's right. Let your heart be constrained by the love of God to the end that you bountifully sow out of a heart so filled with love because of the word you heard. The word that increases your knowledge in the love of Christ. A word that increases your heart in spiritual judgment and discernment. Constrained by love to bountifully sow. That's another area. The next area that is well-pleasing to God and so wonderful for you as a believing one, teach our children to be constraining love, that heroic love. Teach your children heroic love. Give them examples by your demonstration every day of what it is to have heroic love. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And in verse 20, it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is what?
Well-pleasing.
Well-pleasing to the Lord." Give them a reason to have heroic love because of your example. Give them a reason to have their hearts constrained by love, and they will not put a stumbling block in front of you either as a parent. I, in my personal experience, which, you know, that's just my personal experience, but the love of my parents kept me out of so much trouble because of my love return to them. There were things I just would not, could not, did not, should not, and never did do because of the love for my parents. I just would not get involved in those things. I would not allow it. My heart restrained me from doing that. You will show them how to do it because of a love for God and a love for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We will show ourselves to be well-pleasing unto him. And they will see it. Obey your parents, to obey from love, to the end that they trust your spiritual judgments, and they are safe and secure in your love, which you got from God, and you are transferring to them. The same way the love from God we received through Jesus Christ and his example. If you grow in the knowledge of what Jesus Christ really did because he so loved us that he gave up his own will, he gave up his own life because he loved us, and it was the only way to save mankind, and he was willing to lay down his life. He was even willing to change his own will. Let this cup pass from my hand. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. How much love is that? My gosh. See, we can be well-pleasing to God as we renew our mind and prove what is that good and well-pleasing, acceptable will of God is. We can be well-pleasing to God as we work with the brethren not to put any stumbling blocks before them, that we walk in such charity and in our service. And we can be well-pleasing in the love of Christ that constrains us to walk in light as children of the light. We can also be well-pleasing to God as we bountifully sow because of our love that's shed abroad in our hearts by Jesus Christ, by that constraining love. And we can also teach our children how to be well-pleasing to God by carrying on that same love, by obeying your parents in the Lord. Hebrews 13 is another great record. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll start in verse 19. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, God so loved Jesus Christ that he brought him back from the dead. That same constraining love make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Conduct yourself as a mature believer. Be an elder and allow God to work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure, that we can be willing to God. We can be willing to God in our renewed mind. We can be willing, we could be well-pleasing to God in our renewed mind. We can be well-pleasing to God in our service. We can be well-pleasing to God in our bountiful sowing. We can be well-pleasing to God walking in light. We can be well-pleasing to God in how we raise our children to obey their parents and show them the love of God. And we can also be well-pleasing to God as we conduct ourselves and mature as elders in the church, allowing God to work within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 9, and this is in the context of being ambassadors for Christ, verse 9, wherefore we labor, and that word labor is a labor out of a sense of honor, from a sense of honor, that whether present or absent, we may be acceptable of him or acceptable to him, and it's really well-pleasing to him. That word acceptable. We are to be well-pleasing to him. Let's show ourselves well-pleasing. Let the love of Christ constrain you. Your heart just won't leave you alone in that honor and service until you have done this. That is where you grow in your knowledge and in all spiritual judgment, to the end that your heart just will not let you go. This heart that just so beats for Christ, this heart that is so inspired and so set ablaze by what Jesus Christ did and what God did for you through his Son, your heart is just so filled and so overflowing that you just cannot. Your heart just makes you do it. You just will not, it just won't let you alone till it's done. It's that honorable service, your reasonable service to prove that pleasing, well-pleasing will of God. In your service, by walking in love with the brethren, that you present no stumbling block. And as you walk in light and separate yourself from the darkness of this world, as you share bountifully from God's abundant supply to you, and as you teach your children to be obedient out of a sense of love and honor, and as a mature believer to become an elder, and allowing God to work within you, to will and to do of his good pleasure, and as you labor simply because you have a love of Christ and motivated out of a sense of honor. Be well-pleasing as sons of God, and may the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well-pleased." And as a fellowship coordinator or as a believer sharing the Word of God, hear ye him. Bless your hearts.